Scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. We'll read to verse 25. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to read along, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. For I considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of man, the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance.
I pretty much had my sermon planned this week, and some things happened toward the end of the week, and I changed my mind, and I changed my sermon. So you had a good one that was going to be here today, a good sermon, and I don't know how this is going to turn out. But either way, this has been on my mind, and y'all know me, when something gets on my mind, I have a tendency to say it. And let everybody know what's on my mind. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes, or most time, it's probably bad. Before I get into the lesson, we do have visitors with us, and we're happy that you're here. And we invite you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Here's how the argument goes. Did God create everything that exists? The Christian would answer yes. The argument goes on, well, if he created everything that exists, where did evil come from? How can a good and loving God create a world where natural disasters often take human life and causes suffering? Why are there tornadoes, storms, and floods? Why are there illnesses and death? Since God created everything that exists, and evil exists, therefore God created evil. Therefore, because of this argument, God must be evil. The only other option is there is no God. Those who would use this argument today want to say that either there is no God, or if there is a God, he is evil. Another possibility, if he exists, that you can find is that he would like to do something about all the evil in the world today, but he's not powerful enough to do anything. You know, these are important questions, I think, that needs to be discussed. And I think the questions could even go further than what we just read. When a tragedy occurs, I often hear people say, why would God do something like that? You ever heard that? You ever asked or heard the question, why would God allow this to happen? You know, good people ask these questions. Good Christian people ask these questions. We're not talking about skeptics or atheists. We're talking about good people ask these very questions. Why would God allow this to happen? Why didn't God stop the terrorist attacks on 9/11? Because he had the power to do it. Why doesn't God do something about terrorism all over the world today? So many people live in fear every day. even us to a degree, wondering what's next. What evil is going to come around the corner? Why do we have it so good in our country? And in other countries, so many people are starving. Why are babies healthy and well-fed here around us today for the most part? In other places of the world, mothers are holding their children and they're dying from starvation. People want answers to these questions. Why did my marriage fail? Why did my father abuse me? Why did my child die? What's wrong with the world today? And why is there so much evil in it? We need to think carefully this morning about this. And let's consider the very first point. Evil is more than just the absence of good. Evil is more than just the absence of good. A professor who was trying to prove that God does not exist, he was using the argument that I started with this morning in this lesson. The professor said, "Did God create everything? Does evil exist? If so, then God created evil, and since we are what we do, God must be evil. And since Christianity presents God as a good and loving, the Christian faith must be a myth." One of the students in his class replied, "Professor, may I ask a question? Does cold exist?" "Of course," came the reply. "You can feel it." "But professor," the student said, "the law of physics says that cold does not exist. It's simply the absence of heat." Again, the student asked the professor, "Do you believe that darkness exists?" "Of course," he answered again. "We have all experienced it," the student responded, "but isn't darkness merely the absence of light?" He went on to say, "You can study light, measure the weight and speed of the particles of light. You can use a prism to break light apart and study the wavelengths and various colors, but you cannot study darkness because it is simply the absence of light." In the same way, it went on to say, isn't evil simply the absence of God? Is it not just like darkness and cold? A word that we have created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is a result of what happens when man does not have God present in his heart and does not want him in the world. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light. You know, that's an interesting illustration. And it does have some truth to it. But it also can be misleading. It can be misleading for this reason. Evil does not exist in a vacuum. We cannot look at evil and say that it's just a passive or a negative force in our world. Evil is real. And we've been seeing it on the headlines. I got on the internet yesterday morning. So this was the last 2 or 3 days, did not include today or yesterday, after about 8 or 9 o'clock. Former church secretary charged with embezzling $84,000 pleads guilty. U.S. Marshals capture fugitive wanted in Henderson County. Now, we're not going outside of our area here. Case against Jackson man charged with burglary headed to grand jury. Man is charged with hitting and killing a woman with his car. Accused gunman charged with shooting a man in the face during a drug deal. Police investigate a stabbing inside West Jackson Motel. Jackson police seek to ID suspect in attempted robbery in the Dollar General. Suspect charged in February beating now faces additional charges. One is injured in Midtown Jackson shooting. Suspect is still at large. 19 people indicted for selling and distributing heroin. Gibson County woman accused of 10 care fraud. Arrested. Woman sentenced to 26 years in prison for causing the death of two men while driving while intoxicated. Humboldt alderman arrested, charged with violating order of protection. Gibson County minister charged with aggravated sexual battery. Evil is real. Evil is real. What is wrong with the world today? When God created the world, he stepped back. And he looked at the world according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. And he said, paraphrasing, "What I have created, it is good." It is very good. The creation which God created was good, but something has spoiled it. I do not believe that God lied. I do not believe that God created evil. But something has spoiled his creation. You know, it's not something passive that spoiled his world, but something that's active. Something active in this world that's spoiling it. It was not the absence of God. Therefore, the story I read cannot be 100% accurate. Because God has always been here. God has always had a love and a concern for you and for me. Not only me and you, but everybody who's ever lived. Therefore, evil cannot just exist in the absence of God. It has to be something else. We call that something evil. The Bible speaks of evil being a personal force. It talks about Satan. It talks about the devil. The question is, since the devil exists, didn't God create the devil? And therefore, God created evil. And that leads us to our second point we want to look at. Evil exists because God created moral beings. Stay with me this morning. It's not a very long lesson. I know I'm reading a lot. I give a lot of thought and a lot of study on this, and I don't want to leave something out. This is important. The second point being, evil exists because God created moral beings. He created both men and angels, and they were given free will. Now that is the ability and the freedom to choose between good and evil. Every one of us, this list, we all know some of these people. I know one very well. We have free will to choose between good and to choose what is evil. In the beginning, Satan was an angel. God did not create Satan to be evil. God created him to be one of the highest of the angels. But in Satan's mind, in the devil's mind, he made a choice. Satan wanted to be like God. And obviously, he failed. He fell and he went, after he wanted to take God's place, he was created being one of the highest, and he was reduced to being one of the lowest, or the lowest. You see what evil does? You see what sin does? You see what turning your back on God does? He was here, and now he's here. That all happened because he made a choice. He had the free will, the freedom to decide. God did not create Satan to be evil. He created him to be good, an angel of light who had moral freedom and will. Satan once was an angel of God who fell from God, and not only did he fall, he led others to fall as well. God did not create the devil as the devil. He created him good, powerful, and glorious, used for his moral freedom, or Satan used his moral freedom to rebel against God. And he is the source of much of the evil that we're talking about today. And that brings us to the third point. And the third point being this: there's another source of evil. It's free moral agents. It's the men and women of the earth. It's each one of us. Article I read says we've joined the devil's rebellion and revolt against God. We have agreed that we want to be free from God and have our own way. We want to be like God without being subject to God. That was the sin of Adam and Eve, as you read this illustration. We can go back, and the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, when Adam and Eve fell to the temptation of wanting to be like God and rebelled against him, something terrible happened. Not only to them, but to the world. Look at this list. Adam and Eve's appearance changed when they fell. They were no longer naked and unashamed. They were covered and ashamed. They hid from God. The world around them changed. It lost much of its beauty and its friendliness. Nature was set against man. His work would become hard, and there would no longer be paradise, but it would be an unpredictable and dangerous world. What does all that mean? Life would be hard in this world. We went from paradise and everything being great to the world is going to be hard, and now it set itself against God. God's intent was the creation to decide to follow him. Creation to decide to love God. You know, today we can actually feel the groaning of the weight of sin in this world. Look around us. Get online. Get your newspaper. We can actually hear the groaning of what sin is doing in our world today. This year, election year. I always hate election years, because all the evil seems to come out. People, family members will turn on each other, because one is going to vote Republican, one is going to vote Democrat, one is standing here, one is standing there. The media gets a hold of it. And if you've ever made a mistake, and you know that's why I never run for president. That's not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons I would never run for president. They're going to find something you did. And it wasn't, they didn't look very far from me. You know, we talk about there's some things we've done in life we don't want nobody to know. You run for president, everybody's going to know. And we just fight against that. But think about all the groaning that's going on today. And what's the problem? We're talking about building a wall. We're talking about the terrorist attacks. We're talking about the water. And I've done a lot of talk and research on this. The water in Flint, Michigan. What happened there? Well, I'll tell you one thing that happened. A lot of lying took place. A lot of covering up took place. What does all this have to do with each other? Terrorist attacks, building a wall. It's evil. It's sin. All of it's tied together. When we went to a point that we said, we're no longer going to follow God, we're not going to love and choose to love God, we're going to be more attached to the world and what I want. And David brought out such a good point this morning in class when he talked about, here we are right here, this microphone at this point in time. And you think about what David said this morning. He said, if you live to be 100 years old, not many of us is going to do that. It may be one or two of us out of here that would make it to 100. If you live to be 100 years old, how much time is that when you compare it to all eternity? Forever and ever and ever. Now the challenge, and I started to say this morning class, the challenge for us is not to be sucked in and not to be swept in to the world, because the world has such a vacuum on it that it is pulling every one of us. We talk about our young people, and I love our young people. We talk about our young people need to be careful, because the world will suck you in. And it will. One of these on this list I read was a 70-year-old man. We don't need to put our guard down, because the world is still trying to pull us away from God. And we have to be careful. So God did not create evil, but he did create free moral agents who choose evil. People today, even us, we have to be careful. Every one of us. We have to be careful because we've joined in this rebellion. Every one of us. To a degree. We've all joined in. Every one of us in our own lives in some way has said no to God. We said, no, we're not going to do that. And we said yes to sin. God could have prevented evil had he wanted to. Because what God would have done, and I heard this when I was a little bitty guy, and I've heard it all my life, and here I am saying it. What he would have done would have been created robots. He would have created all the angels and all of us in such a way that we could not make a choice for ourselves, but that we would serve him. But now you think about the other side of that. Your freedom is so important to God that he's willing to tolerate evil. God is willing to tolerate evil in the world for a time rather than deny you that freedom. If you are not free to rebel against God today, then neither you're free to love him. That's why we're free. Because God wants us to choose to love him. Another illustration I found, when we're thinking about the consequences to their behavior, which affects us personally and others as well. It says what it means is that each of us struggles with evil every day in some way. Temptation happens to the best of us. Someone once wrote, "No man knows how bad he is till he's tried very hard to be good." A silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. This is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptations know how strong it really is. After all, you find out the strength of the German army by fighting it, not by giving in. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes simply does not know what it would have been like an hour later. That is why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They have lived a sheltered life by always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to find it. Today, this morning, are you struggling with temptation? Answer that question. Are you struggling this morning in some way in your life with temptation? Well, congratulations. That means you're fighting evil. If you're not struggling, you're giving in. If you're not struggling with things in your life, then you are giving in to those evilness. If we're finding struggles difficult, then we're doing the right thing. The more we resist evil, the more we understand its power. How hard is it to do right? I guarantee you, we went around the room this morning. There would be some of us, if we were honest, and I know we are, that we would say, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. Why? Because we're living in the world every day. Not a one of us in here is perfect. Not a one. We're all struggling. The difference between us and the world, hopefully, is that we have the blood of Christ cleansing us of our sins. Many years ago, the age of 12, I stepped out of an aisle at Atwood and I walked down an aisle and I confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and I was immersed that day for the remission of my sins. And I'm not for sure I understood, or as a matter of fact, I know I didn't understand everything I should have. Over the years, I made some terrible, terrible mistakes, even after being a Christian. The temptation got so great in my life that I caved into the temptation. It was that point where I thought, I can't overcome it, I can't overcome it, I can't overcome it. It's just like anything you try to do. I talk about losing weight a lot. I'll talk about it again right now. If you want to lose weight, you know, you got to give up bread, you got to give up potato chips, you got to give up candy, ice cream, pizza, hamburger, everything that you really want, you put that aside. You get you some lettuce, and you eat lettuce, but you can't put dressing on it because that's just as bad as a candy bar, so you eat lettuce. You know where I'm going with this. The hard part about that is when you with somebody else. If me and David went to play golf one day, and we went by the store, he said, let's get us a snack so we can eat. I go in there, they don't have lettuce in a convenience store. He gets him a good old Coca-Cola and a Snickers candy bar like I got me a few weeks ago. I have to make a decision, don't I? Am I going to get that candy bar? And it can really be a struggle in yourself. You can struggle trying to decide whether or not to eat that candy bar. And folks, it's the same way with sin. If you're not struggling, odds are you're living it. Something out there is tempting everyone. But it's how we deal with it. But there's good news. The good news is that evil is coming to an end. If we keep fighting the fight, as David said this morning in class, and we understand where we're at, just hold on a little bit longer. Sometimes that's all we can do, isn't it? Just hold on just a little bit longer. It's going to get better. You know, when I was in the Army, you get there, I was there for a week before I ever went to my permanent party. Then you go to your basic training at your permanent party there, and it's 8 weeks long. They have a cadence in the Army. Starts off in week one, 8 more weeks. We'll be done. Then you go 7 more weeks, we'll be done. 6, 5, 4. You know, whenever you get down to 3, you're like, well, I've got this whoop. About got it whoop. You get down to 1 week, and I say, 5 more days, 4, 3, 2. And I remember the day before graduating, 1 more day. Oh, I was so excited. These folks will quit screaming. 1 more day, and I just stated, but I didn't want to look at them no more. I really didn't. I was sick of it. Sometimes we can endure. We don't quit. We see the end bright. And the end bright is that there's a lot going on in the world today. I've been so disappointed with it. I just looking at the news.
say they're fighting evil or think they're fighting evil without Jesus, you're not going to win. You're not going to win that battle if you don't have God in your life. You're not going to win that battle if you don't have Jesus in your life, because you've got to allow Jesus' blood to wash away all your sins so that God will hear your prayer. This morning, do you have enough faith that you can answer this question? That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Can you say yes to that? If you can and you're willing to fight evil, not say you're going to be perfect. You want to. There's not a one of us that does not want to be perfect, I'm sure. But not that you're going to be perfect, but that you're going to fight evil and say, I am going to turn away from this in my life. Repent of your sins is what the Bible calls. And today, if you're willing to do those things, you can become a Christian. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. And as depressed as we can get, keep an eye on what's going on around us, we can know that there is a great day coming. A great day coming for those who are faithful. Become a Christian. You hear you've been unfaithful. You need to read that, rededicate your life to God. Tell them why to go with them.